Welcome to the Living Word Assemblies of God Toronto podcast. As the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Yes, it is the complete human experience. So relax and re-energize yourself with this powerful word.
This morning, I'm speaking on the covenant God. Now, this covenant God has a way of building covenant, making covenant with his people. And some of the people God makes covenant with is his servants. So this morning's message, I will speak for some few minutes, and then the youth pastor will come, because on Friday, he gave a very powerful message understanding the value on the lead pastor or God's servant. So he come in for about 10 minutes, we'll do something. And then I'll come back and conclude and show you God's way of supporting his servants. God's way. It's not our way, God's way. The way God has revealed it. So let me begin by asking. On Wednesday night, we talked about what does the pastor do. And then the church members helped me find out the job description of the pastor. Pastor number one is responsible for the leadership of the church. Numbers 27, 15 to 17. Acts 20, 28. They give themselves to the word and to prayer. That's what pastor does. Okay, his responsibility is to interpret the biblical scripture for the congregation. Make sure that people are not living in lie. Okay? Private work of prayer and preparation for preaching, give themselves unto prayer. Responsible for preparing weekly sermons, preaching and conducting worship services, ensure that the children of God are well fed spiritually. This is one of the things that pastor does. Guiding our soul. Guiding your soul. Hebrews 13, 17. The visitation of members and ensure that members are visited. So if pastor himself doesn't come, he assures rather the deacons do it, the members do it, the cell group do it. Something is happening. The comforting of members in challenging times. Preparing new members for water baptism, conducting the water baptism, taking intended married couples through various series of marriage preparation and conflict resolutions. The officiating of weddings, dedication of babies, perform different kinds of dedications, car dedication, building dedications, shop dedication, pet dedication, business dedication. These are some of the things that pastor does. Those of you are thinking of buying a dog, let me know. Okay. Officiating funerals, funeral ceremonies, putting together and organizing programs for the church, call, organize board meetings, leadership meetings, calling for other meetings, developing programs for the church, putting together church bulletin when needed, or doing it through others, coordinating all activities in the church, representing the church as its ambassador to the land and community where the church is, acting and serving as an advocate, acting as a building agent and site inspector, act as consultant and a confidant. He plays the role of the main confronter in the church. If you do something wrong, we'll confront you. That's the most hard part. In all major church open forum, he serves as the main discussion leader. He's a gift discoverer and a raiser. In other words, nurtures people, finds people, discovers their gift, recruits them, develops them, and deploys them. A pastor is an opportunity spotter, project manager. You have to find, look at it, and then get it done. A pastor is a spiritual director. You provide spiritual leadership to members of the church, takes care of the church office, leader of the running of the church office, makes sure things are done at the office properly, takes care of the church office, writes, supervise the writing of official letters. Somebody needs a transfer letter, somebody needs a passport form, somebody, you have to endorse all those things. How many of you know that all those things that people do outside, okay, lawyers do, doctors do, nurses do, all others do, they do it for a fee. The only way you come and pastor endorses your passport form for you and there's no charge is the church. Okay, so look at it very carefully. So endorses documents. So some of you have to start, because the stamp I use. Look at your neighbors and tell him this is a good place to be. Okay, write articles, correspondence, testimonials, supporting letters for members when needed. And then attend official meetings on behalf of the church. make calls, direct calls to be made on his behalf. Give ear to the complaints and concerns of all. Pray for members whenever the need arises or when called for. The responsibility to get to know every member in person. That's one of the things. You have to make sure you know people by name. So much. What is your name? Who are you? Where are you from? You have to know them, know their children, know their husbands, and then mention them by name. And then sometimes mention them by the language they speak. Amen. All right, so these are some of the, how many of you believe God is calling you to do? Because these are some of the things pastor does. So if God is calling you, please come. Don't go back. The responsibility to get you. Take responsibility for anything that goes on in the church. All right, keeps an eagle eye over all groups and all activities, men, women, children, youth, nursery, wherever, everywhere, washrooms, make sure everything, to perform the pleasure of God. And now, in addition to all this, perform the pleasure of God, obey the voice of God, please the Lord. Pastors are called to work now, listen to me, without seeing the results, but always believing the results will come by God's grace and in God's time. The pastor is the chief fundraiser for the church. If we need something to do, you have to be there. Volunteer as a chaplain, pastoral care to staff, to deacons, to leaders, to volunteers. Give final approval to every decision made at all levels and is responsible for anything that happens. And then when we came on Wednesday, these are some of the things that Ada says, okay? Pastor will have to take his time and marry the wife also, okay? So marry husbands, tell them to do it. Okay, and then encourage members. That's what he does. Sometimes some people come and they think pastors should behave like he's a doctor, he's a lawyer, an employment agent. So people need jobs. You have to connect them. People also have cases, immigration cases. You have to connect them. So pastor is an immigration agent connecting people to others. And then, or immigration consultant. Okay? So pastor should have time for his family. And then, you know, pastor also, sometimes people think the church should be a place where people should be supported, people should be encouraged, people should be helped, or people should be given loan. So sometimes pastor becomes like credit union. And then others, and then somebody said, you know, pastors also accept and they receive criticisms. Like, you know, the only place where you can go and people can question everything you do is the church. You go to the hospital, your doctor tells you, lie on the bed, you lie straight. You come to church, pastor tells you, sit down. He said, why are you asking me to sit down? Put your hands together for the Lord and celebrate Him. I see it. You know, God is calling people. It is good to be called as a pastor. Amen. The Bible says it's God's gift. So that's the reason why you cannot call yourself. He has to call you. And when He calls you, He gives you the strength, He gives you the grace, He gives you the ability, He gives you the power to do it. Can I hear amen? So these are some of the things that pastors do. Because sometimes some people wonder, you know, they come to the office and say, pastor, is that your office? Yeah, the kids. I say, yeah. Then they come and sit on my chair. Me too, I want to be a pastor. I say, good. Then they will ask, pastor? I say, yeah. What do you do here? So I take my time and explain to them. And let them know that there's so much that you do as a pastor. Thank you very much. Let's get a youth pastor.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, yesterday I was with the youth at a cantata, doing a Christmas cantata. And as they were going through the scene, they were showing the scene of the birth of Jesus and how Jesus was born in a manger. I mean, think about it. God, the creator of the universe, born in a manger. And the people had come around him before his birth. Nobody wanted him around. There was no room for him in the inn. And then after his birth, I see the wise men coming to bow down, the shepherds coming to bow down. And I'm asking myself a question. It's a baby. Why would wise men bow down to a baby? You know, and then it dawned on me that they were seeing something in that little child that others were not seeing. And many times in our lives, we don't value the things that come to us because we only look at the outside, right? If we will understand the true value of something, we have to go deeper than what we just see. And the lead pastor is a different kind of person. might be thinking in your mind, why are we having a pastor's appreciation, a special one just for the lead pastor? We have other pastors in the church. No, I mean, the list that pastor just went through, a quarter of that doesn't, my list is not even a quarter of that. You understand? The lead pastor has a certain value that we must not miss as a church. The burden that the lead pastor carries, I mean, we can have 1,000 pastors in this church, none of them will carry that same burden. Amen? And we must, as a church, begin to see the value of our lead pastor so that it will inform how we treat him. Just like the baby Jesus, if you don't see his value, you just pass by him like every other baby and not value his worth. In the Bible, there was a man like that, Esau. He did not value his birthright and he despised it. But his brother Jacob valued it. When you value something, it dictates how you treat it. If you don't value something, you just treat it anyhow. Think of buying a brand new car. You buy a brand new car, how you treat it is different. If you have Ajo car, you treat it differently also. Right? I just want to read two scriptures and then I'll hand over to Pastor. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, the Bible talks about how the Israelites valued their king. From verse 15, it says, when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint. Then Ishbi-benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall not go out anymore with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. Amen. So in this scripture, we see David being the king or the lead pastor going with his people to battle. And as they were fighting, you know, David had been fighting all his life. And at this point, he was quite aged. So he was weak. So there was one of the enemy who was about to kill him. And one of his soldiers quickly ran to David's aid and killed the enemy. And then after that, all the army swore that David, you are a leader, you should not go to war with us because all of us can die in the battle. Israel will still be standing. But if you die in the battle, Israel is gone. They understood the value of the king. That the king had more value than all of them put together. You see, we are all human beings. We are all souls that Jesus died for. But even in God's mind, there are people and there are people. You understand? Not that someone is more important than the other, but God gives people certain responsibilities and assignments that make what they do become very important to God. And so you take a man like Moses and the assignment God gave him, God will gladly open the earth to swallow up many people just so that one man Moses can still carry on his assignment. The next scripture I want us to look at is 2 Samuel 18, verse 1 to 4. And David numbered the people who were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. Then David sent out one-third of the people under the hand of Joab, one-third under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one-third under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I also will surely go out with you myself. But the people answered, you shall not go out, for if we flee away, they will not care about us. Nor if half of us die, will they care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us now, for you are now more help to us in the city. Amen. The people understood the value of their leader. That the leader represents all of us. He said, all of us can die. Even to half of us, we can die. But if the leader is still there, there is still the chance for the whole nation to win the battle. Amen. I just want to highlight this. I said two scriptures. Let me just add this third scripture, and then I will sit down. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 29. It says, so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you wear your robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded 32 captains of his chariots, fight with neither small nor great, but only with the king of Israel. And when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is surely the king of Israel. So they turned to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. Understand that the enemy we fight, he knows the value of the leader. Even if the church misses that, Satan will not miss that. The devil knows if he wants to destroy this church, he shouldn't waste time on you and I. He will tell his demons, as you go to Living Word, just focus on one man, and that is the lead pastor. Don't bother about the youth pastor. Don't bother about the children pastor. Don't bother about the worship leader. Don't bother about the women ministry leader. Don't waste your energy on them. Go for the lead pastor. And that was what this king of Syria told 32 captains. They are going to fight. He said, don't waste time on anybody else. Just go for the king of Israel. Amen. And this church, I believe God has blessed us with wisdom to dedicate such a month just to pray for our lead pastor and dedicate such a day to tell him that we understand his value to us. Amen. And that is why the devil will not have his way among us. Say amen. Amen. So today, as we value our lead pastor, I want us from our hearts to tell him that we know what you represent to us. It's not just Pastor Isaac that we are valuing. When we value you, we are valuing ourselves. When we protect you, we are protecting ourselves. Hallelujah. Let's give a hand as Pastor Isaac comes to finish up.
Thank you very much. God richly bless you. And so God himself in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, and I know some people argue with the concept of New Testament, Old Testament. Now, sometimes we wonder and then we value. So let's look at the scriptures. What does the pastor deserve? How has God prescribed, okay, all through scripture to ensure that the pastors are supported or the servants are supported or the servants are taken care of? Now listen, God cares for his shepherd as much as he does for his sheep. God is very particular regarding providing for his ministers. He has therefore made a number of provisions for the sustenance and well-being of his pastors, ministers, servants. So let's look at God's sources of provision for his pastors, his servants, his ministers. In Ephesians chapter number 4, God says he's giving us. So first of all, they are supposed to be remunerated out of the tithes and offerings. Numbers chapter 18, verse 20 to 32, Nehemiah 12, 44, Nehemiah 10, 37 to 39. We'll pick up a few and then we'll move on. Listen. Then the Lord God said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor own any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the sons of Israel. So when God calls you as a pastor, number one, you have to understand that he is your source. That's what God said. He is your source. It's not about the people. God is your source. It has to do that way. It says, to the sons of Levi, look at what God said. Behold, I have given all the tithes in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting. This is what God said. Because they perform work in the service of meeting, I have given them all the tithes. Now listen, it's very important for us to understand that tithe is not supposed to be used to maintain the building. That's why sometimes we struggle. But let me just go on. I'll give you some few verses. Look now. It says, it shall be a perpetual status throughout your generation. And among the sons of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Look down to verse 28. So you shall also present an offering to the Lord from your tithe, which you receive from the sons of Israel. And from it, you shall give the Lord's offering to Aaron the priest. So the Levites get it, and then they also tithe out of it to the priest. Okay, when you go home, take your time, read the scriptures. Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10, it says, we will also bring the first of our dough, our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the new wine and the oil to the priest at the chamber of the house of our God, and the tithe of our ground to the Levites. For the Levites are they who receive the tithe in all rural towns. The priest, the sons of Aaron, shall be with the Levite. When the Levite receives tithe, and the Levite shall bring up the tenth of the tithe to the house of God, to the chambers of the house. He says, for the sons of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contribution of the grain, the new wine, and oil to the chambers. There are utensils of sanctuary. I want you to take care of this. Utensils of sanctuary, the priests who are ministering, the gatekeepers, and the singers. He says, thus we will not neglect the house of our God. Now listen, this week God was talking to me. One of the things we do, why is it that we think that God only visits us on Sundays? But during the midweek, we don't have choir. During the midweek, we don't have instrumentalists. Midweek, we don't have anybody around to lead praise and worship. This is the reason. The reason is because all of them have deserted the house of God. They have gone and they are working. That is not supposed to be. We are supposed to take care for the choristers to come, to take care of the instrumentalists, so that the house of God, when people come in here, they will experience God in a unique way. But everybody is working. So we have left the house of God because we are not doing it right. Because we have grown up in an environment where we think that this is the way it's supposed to be done. But this is what God speculated. Now listen, Nehemiah 12:44. On that day, men were also appointed over the chambers of the stores, their contributions, their first fruit, and the tithes, to gather into them from the fields of the cities the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. Now, when they did this, according to Nehemiah, God, remember, this has been a struggle and a battle between the people of Israel and all others. So sometimes they do it, other times they don't do it, they leave it. And when they leave it, then the people of Israel, all the people, desert it and go and do their own work. And so the house of God suffers. The worship of God suffers. That we think that, oh, okay, we can just give God only one Sunday. But God, in his sovereignty and his wisdom, he set up the speculation. He said, look, this is what I want you to do. Look at it carefully. It says, when Judah, the Bible says, Judah rejoiced over the priest and Levite who served. Judah rejoiced over them. So God has speculated that, look, let's use the tithe to take care of the pastor. Not just him. It's not just him, but singers, instrumentalists, workers here, so that we wouldn't lack. You know, I know it's good. I mean, all of you, you will want to serve. No, you want to help. You want to support. We can't pay all of you. But at least, if midweek services, we're able to encourage some of you. And say, okay, you are working Friday. How much do you get working Friday? And we are able to support you. Won't you come for us to lift up holy hands? For us to agree together? To see the power of God manifested? You know, I think that there's something we can do. Think about it. This is not Pastor Isaac. This is the way God told the children of Israel to do it. Some of you don't believe in the New Testament. We will get there. But the principles from the Old Testament is carried through into the New Testament. It is about God. It's not about us. So he shows us. Number two, be given portions of special offerings. So he said ministers of his should be given portions of special offerings. Numbers chapter 18, 8 to 32. It's a long one. So just pick up a few. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron. Now behold, I myself, listen, this is what God said. I myself have given you charge of my offerings. Even all the holy things of the sons of Israel, I have given them to you as a portion and to your sons as a perpetual allotment. This is a law word, perpetual allotment. We need a lawyer to explain to us. It says, this shall be yours from the most holy things, reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, even every grain offering, every sin offering, every guilt offering, which they shall render to me, shall be most holy for you and for your sons. This is what God said. Wow, somebody saying, so what do we have to keep? Verse 19, all the offerings of the holy things, which the sons of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and your daughters with you as a perpetual allotment. Look at the next word. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord to you and your descendants with you. That's what God said. When you go home, take your time. That's the second thing. Let's look at the third one. Be given the first fruit. Some of you don't understand the concept of the first fruit. be given the first fruit. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 28 to 30. He says, and it shall come, it shall be with regard to an inheritance of them, that I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession of Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the grain of offering, the sin offering, the gift offering, and every devoted thing in Israel. Look at the confusion shall be for the priest. Now, you shall also give to the priest the first of your dough to cause a blessing to rest on your house. So God said, the first fruit bring it to them. We will explain the concept of the first fruit to you. You know, when I came into this church, something happened. I haven't taught you first fruit. You know, but there's a little girl who just was in high school, so she came home holidays. She took a job, holiday job. And then when she got her first pay, the mom spoke to her and said, look, this is your first fruit. Go to pastor's office, give it to pastor, and let pastor bless you. So the little girl climbed. I said, pastor, I want to see you. Came up, said, this is my first fruit. I said, who taught you? Said, my mom. Said, you will go far. It's not about the money. It is about the principle. It's about the principle. It's not about the pastor. It's about the principle that God has instituted. No, God has instituted his way and said, this do. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10 to 13. It says, I also discovered that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. So that the Levites and the singers. Now listen, I want you to listen to this place very carefully. He says, I also discovered, this is Nehemiah, after they have returned, people have neglected the house of God. They were not taking care of worshippers. You come to church, you want singers, somebody to sing for a song. Nobody is there. Why? Because all of them have gone working. All of them. And it is true. I mean, it's not a sin to go and work. It's not a sin. Please, don't misunderstand me. And you're born, it's not a sin. But the point is that the problem is not God's problem. Maybe it's either we haven't looked at it. Look at it. It said, so that the Levites, okay, the instrumentalists, I put them in, the singers who performed the service had gone away, each to his own field. Each to his own field. Seamstress, hairdressers, PSW, accountants, workers, everybody has think about lawyers, teachers, everybody has gone to his own field. Why? Now listen. Listen. So I reprimanded the officials and said, why is the house of God forsaken? Then I gathered them together and restored them to their post. All Judah then brought the tithe of the grain, wine, oil into the storehouse. In charge of the storehouse, listen, and appointed people to take care. The Bible says their task was to distribute these things to their kinsmen. Now, there is a way God wants his church to be built. He started the revelation in the Old Testament. He unrolled it through to the New Testament. So this is one of the things we need to do. First fruits. God says, bring it to the priest and then to the servant, and God will help them to do the work of God. Number four, members are supposed to bless them with free will offering. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 to 42. The Bible says, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Okay, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. This is what Jesus said. So now move from the Old Testament to the New. So first of all, we have looked at four areas that you are supposed to be supported. Number five. They have to be partakers of the members' financial and material blessings. When God blesses the members, okay, those of us who have set ourselves apart, responded to the call of God, are supposed to benefit, to celebrate and enjoy with you. That is why it is my prayer. It is my dream. It is my goal that God Almighty will bless you. He will give you the best. He will make you the best. Because when you are blessed, it will affect me. But when you are struggling, when you are suffering, when you are not blessed, I will also not be blessed. Look at your neighbor's face and say, what pastor is saying is true. So look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. The Bible says, Galatians 6, 6. The Bible says, the one who is taught the word is to share what? all good things with the one who teaches him. All good things. Not some, but all good things. Number six, be blessed with special seeds. It's not seeds just for church building, seeds for other things. Now be blessed. Numbers chapter 35, 1 to 8. Now listen very carefully. This is very significant. God told the children of Israel and said, look, for the Levites, they are not supposed to have any inheritance. But he gives the children of Israel inheritance and he said, you must give them some of your inheritance and it shall be theirs. And the reason God is doing that is so that it shall be cities of refuge. Cities of refuge. I mean, sometimes it's amazing how people think that the pastor keeps the church money at the church office. Now, somebody may be passing and then pass by and, oh, I'm a pound, and when you tell them that, no, we don't do that. We don't do that. It's not like the money is there and we are using our hand to boom and then to give. People don't understand it. Look at it. It said, now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plain of Moab by Jordan opposite Jericho, saying, command, and this is a command, command the sons of Israel that they give to the Levite from the inheritance of their possession cities to live in. And you shall give to the Levite pasture lands around the cities. The cities shall be theirs to live in, and their pasture lands shall be for their cattle and for their hares and for their beasts. So see, the pastors who have cattle and hares, the Levites. Okay, God says, give it to them, bring it to them, and then it will be done. Now give me 1 Kings chapter 17. These are one of the ways. When you go read all the scriptures, I don't have time to do it. So the seventh thing is that God has a way, another way God feeds his people is that he uses supernatural means. He can use the brooks, he can use the ravens, and he can use the widows. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'll read from the board. 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. Give me verse 3. Give me verse 3. The Bible says, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. God uses to strengthen and to feed his prophet. Give me verse 4. And it shall be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. There is a season where God feeds us. Give me verse 9. Give me verse 9. Look at the scriptures. Verse 9. The Bible says, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. You know, God provides for his own. So look at what I've said. So that's number 7. Look at number 8. Be appreciated by double honor. 1 Timothy 5, 17 to 18. It says, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he's threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Look at it carefully. So God has given us. Now, you realize how I've been traveling with you is from the Old Testament all through to the New Testament. Just to let you appreciate the way that God has defined for things in his house, the ministers in his house, the helpers in the house to be taken care of. Look at it carefully. And then God has stipulated under the Apostle Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that honorarium for preaching, 1 Corinthians 9, 13 to 14. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. It's not a crime. Okay, so point number 9. Ministry expenses be borne by the church. 1 Corinthians 9, 5 to 7. What the churches are doing. It says, do we not have a right process to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? He says, who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Okay, Canadian Armed Forces or Air Force will recruit young people and tell them, come and serve Canada for free. We will send you to Cambodia. Defend Canada for free. He said, who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? You know, so it's very important that God has his way. So ministry expenses is also to be done. And then look at it. Look at Isaiah. I like this scripture. When I was reading this scripture, I wasn't too sure how it was because of the context. But I like the ending part. Pastors, dresses, and provision. Isaiah chapter 23, 17 to 20. Listen. It says, it will come about at the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre. Then she will go back to her harlot's wages and will play the harlot with all the kingdoms of the face of the earth. Her gain and her harlot's wages will be set apart to the Lord. I don't know why God says it, but he says he will bring the riches or the gifts of the Gentiles into the house of the Lord. Now listen to the latter part. It will not be stored up or hoarded, but her gain will become sufficient food and choice attire for those who dwell in the presence of the Lord. So the dresses, you know, sometimes you come in, there are banks, there are corporations, other companies, they have, you know, they have dress allowance. Some banks have dress allowance. You know, sometimes people come, you are going to officiate weddings, they just come. You are dedicating their babies, they just come. By the time you finish, you go home, the dress you used to dedicate the baby, the oil has manufactured it. Okay, but you know, it's a joy and it's a delight to do it. But these are some of the things that you need to really see that goes on. But God says, this is the way that his servants ought to be taken care of. And I know, I mean, for Living Word, you are amazing people. But when you are doing great things, I can see from your faces. Look at your neighbor and tell him, pastor says you are doing very well. Can I give you more? Are you sure? Okay, Luke chapter 8, that will be the last one. Be supported by transformed life and transformed women. Luke chapter 8, verse 2-3. The Bible says, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirit and sicknesses. Okay, good. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirit and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susan, and many others. Who provided for him, this is Jesus, from their substance. Now Jesus had women providing for him, supporting him, encouraging him, giving out of their own substance. Now, what have I said? God has given us ways by which we need to support his servants. This is God's ways. There are many ways. When you go home, take your time, sit down, and then look at all that, pray fervently about it, and then support, not just me, but support the workers, support the singers, support the instrumentalists, support, because we need all of them to make sure that the work of God is going on. So how do you appreciate your pastor? Pick up number one, pray for him and his family. Pray. We need prayer. But there are some pastors, I know, they don't need prayers. But for me, I need prayers. Double dose. Can I hear amen? Yeah, Paul said, pray for us. Because we are fighting, like Nana said, we are not fighting just physical battles. There are things that we go through, you have no idea. Are you getting the point? So pray for me. Number two, listen to the sermons when you come to church and take notes. Whatever he tells you, write, take notes and go and practice it. Number three, give them feedback from their sermons. It's not, oh, pastor, it was good. Oh, you were nice. Oh, you were, those ones, no, but very positive, you know, encouraging, transformative feedback. You know, pastor, your D. No, that one is it's not good fans. So how do you support your pastor? How do you support? Now, this is the way you support him. Number one, pray for him and his family. Listen to his sermon. Give them feedback. Give him feedback. Encourage them. Remember that your pastor too is a person too. Always remember. I remember one time somebody came. We had an event, and then we were sitting, and the pastors were sitting somewhere under a tree, and we decided that we were going to eat bangu and okuru with some koto crab. So we were there, we were eating, and some of the members, the visitors came, they were walking around, and we were surprised. What? Pastors are eating, and the way we're eating the, you know, Afo Banku, and the okro is like the one the Kinlari's wife prepares. You need cutlass by the side. So we were seriously engaging the Baku, and people were like, what, Pastor? Hey, Pastor Du is a person. Hey, when we are fasting, we are fasting. But when we are eating, hey. Can I hear amen? Now listen, how do you support your pastor? Volunteer to serve. Now, God is giving a message. Somebody sent me an email. I'm looking at it. Look, ask yourself, in this church, are you a customer in Living Word or you are an owner? Are you a tenant or you are a house owner? You know, I think sometimes some of us, we see ourselves as tenants. We just come and go. You know, volunteer. That's how you support your pastor. Volunteer and serve somewhere. All of us have gifts. Look at it. Serve somewhere. Number, what number is that? Six or seven? Okay. Volunteer to serve. Six. The first one is pray for him and his family. Number two, listen to his sermons. Number three, give him feedback. Number four, remember that there are people too. Number five, volunteer to serve. Number six, say positive things about him and the church. Say positive things about him and the church. Wherever you go, look, be happy. I am your pastor. Now, if you are not happy, I can give you transfer. Yeah, because it's better for me to give you a transfer for you to go to another church where you can like the pastor and support the pastor than to sit here and always be crying. You will get some serious cry, amen. And be proud. Speak well about your church. Anywhere you go, be happy you are part of Living Word. Let people know that you are happy. Look, there are certain churches you never, there's problem everywhere. Every house. You never hear them say any bad thing. Look at Church of Pentecost. Look at, they will never. But sometimes you go to some churches, it seems as if they are the only people who are living with Satan in their midst. May the Lord have mercy on us. Can I hear amen? Are you happy to support your pastor? This is the way you do it. Okay. And then the next one, seven, is that invite people to church. Look, the way you can support your pastor is to invite people to church because you speak well. And then you also are proud of your church. You invite people to come because look, when you invite them to come, when they come, they will get saved. Because when they come and I'm preaching, God will give me a word. Their heart will be touched. Their lives will be changed. God will do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, look, please support pastor for me. Okay. Tell the person. Are you getting the point? Are you happy you came to church today? Oh, are you sure? Okay, number eight. Lead a living cell. Get yourself into living cell. Do something. Support the living cell. Get yourself inside. Get a cell groups. Can I hear amen? Now, look at me very carefully. God is giving us direction, a new way to do church. We have realized that we have to take action. Now. Because I have realized, and I believe it's true, most of you, okay, how many people here on the average have been in this church more than 10 years? Just show your hand small. Okay, all of you have been here for more than 10 years. If you had gone to school to study for 10 years, you would have been professors. Can I hear amen? So look at my face. This is what God is saying. It is time for all of you to start leading in the small groups at home, at your own various centers. So God spoke to us and said, we are one family, 10 locations. We are launching out from next year. You are supposed to lead like midweek Bible studies. It should be happening in the communities. Friday prayer meetings, it should be happening. You should be leading the prayer meetings and ensure that your neighbors, people around you are getting healed, are getting saved, because you have been fed for 10 years. If you don't have anywhere to move it, you become like the Dead Sea. People just float on you. Are you getting the point? How many of you are excited? You are not excited. Okay. God is speaking. Can I hear amen? All right, so number nine, share your church's post on social media. Be proud, you know, social media, Facebook, whatever. Share the church's post. Like right now you are listening, to a message. There are some of them I say it, and it's good. It's good for you to take and tweet it. I'm not like Trump, but you tweet it. I said, wow, this is the word. This is it. This is great. And then number 10. I intentionally brought this one at the end. Okay. So bless him financially as the Lord blesses you. You know, sometimes it's very difficult for you to talk. I mean, if I go to places to talk at pastors' appreciation, most of the time, pastors, they sit down, they let other pastors come and preach, and they do harvest, they do all those things. I didn't grow up like that, so forgive me. Okay. Because when we grew up, we just tell them, we do it ourselves. Because if I preach healing, and God will heal you, I preach at my appreciation. And if you bless, it's not compulsion. If you take God's word and act on it, you'll be blessed. Why should I wait and bring somebody to come and defer you? Defer you. Oh, no. Amen. Amen. All right. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for today. We bless you for your goodness, for your faithfulness, and for your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Your word is true, Lord, and when we take you at your word, the church will grow, the kingdom of God will advance, and your name will be glorified. Can I hear amen? Amen. All right, so if you came today, pastor's appreciation, you know, Pastor Larry, will you come, or I should finish it, and then I'll hand over to you. Okay, so whatever you brought, so come, talk. I know you have been praying about it, dreaming about it, writing it. So some of you came with something. You realize that you have to change it. Change it. Amen. Yeah. No, change it. It's true. It's true. God is speaking to you. Change it.
Thank you for your time. We pray that this message will continue to be a blessing in your life. Please visit us at livingwordag.org or whenever you are in the Greater Toronto Area, Ontario, Canada. This podcast is made possible through your generous donations. God bless you and keep you. Join us again soon.